Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Tuesday edition. Not sure I want two Monday Night Football games going on at the same time. I feel like I would have had them both on if they'd have been back-to-back like they used to. What about you, edition? For those of you wondering what happens during these pauses at the start of the shows during the Californian, it's because every time the video comes up, I have no idea what angle, how big or small in the camera lens, where he's going to be. He looks like he's taking over someone's basement today. Oh, this is so much fun.
You know there's no basements in California, right?
No, that looks like a basement to
not.
Me.
Well, it's not.
None at all?
It looks pretty basement-y.
It's not a basement.
I bet you could find one basement in California.
You're probably right, but I'm not 100% sure.
And special guests on top of it.
It's the Renster. And she just let me know that one of their dogs farted. Just so you know, that's where we're at.
Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430. ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, and you don't want to miss that on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And apparently from some friend of his in California's house, he is... How much longer do you have to be there before you become officially a California resident?
Oh, let me tell you something. The last thing I want to do is be a California resident, tax-wise, etc. So
and the Packers Hall
of Famer.
Don't
be getting ideas in IRS's heads and things like that.
Uncle Tausch with his...
Florida, Tennessee. There's some other states that would be better. But not California.
Texas
is another good one. I think the state of Washington, which is a sneaky one, does not have state income tax.
Only one of those has mountains.
That's not true.
Two of them have mountains. I forgot about Tennessee.
He's Mark Tauscher. Whose house are you at? Because if it's a Vrbo, you don't have kids coming up, I don't think.
I don't like putting other people's business on the streets. I'll say
their child came onto the show.
I understand. I understand what you're saying.
What kind of dog is it?
No, there's
how smelly
dogs.
Was its fart?
Let me tell you, there's three dogs, and one of them is Barry Alvarez is the name of the dog, which I think you could probably piece together. One of my best buddies lives out here, and he's a landscape professional. And last night we were hanging out at the fire pit, walking back. It's dark out. I have a monster rose thorn. Who puts a thorn bush right next to the walkway? Who does that?
What are you, Cro-Magnon, man? You've got your arms hanging and they're dragging? How did you manage to get...
No, I was walking because I told you my left knee's pretty jacked up. Yes, so I'm walking down and it's slick.
Spun out?
No, I didn't spin out, but I put my
tripped
hand
and
out.
Fell.
I put there's like a rail, like a handrail, which is nice. I put my hand out to the rail and there's a thorn bush hanging over the handrail. And I get it, and of course, I don't hit the rose, I hit a thorn. And now I'm like, oh, I got this, and I'm trying to dig this out of here, and I got a probably going to have an infected finger. So it's that's where I'm at.
Every rose has its thorn, and one is in Tausch's hand. Well, thank you for grinding through the pain. You're quite the gamer. Will you get any team reps this week? We'll have to wait and see.
So how do you think you were complaining about two Monday night games? That's like complaining about having too much ice cream.
No. I'm not complaining about having two Monday night games.
You did. You said,
no. I just want them back-to-back. They used to do them back-to-back.
They never did back-to-back.
They did.
Staggered deal.
No.
It's been staggered the last 2 or 3 years. It's been staggered.
Okay, that would be an accurate statement.
Well, you said so. That used to be they'd play an early East Coast, and then they'd go play like Las Vegas or the Raiders
Chargers. Sure. Yeah.
And then they'd have Greeny and Golic would do it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's been 20 years.
It hasn't been 20 years.
It's been 10.
It hasn't been 20 years since they had them back to back. It's been several years. You are correct about that, Mr. Thornbirds.
So being out west, it's weird because the game's over at 7 o'clock, 7:30.
The first game.
That part's goofy. Well, the first game was over in the first quarter.
You had Monday Night Football kickoff at 4:30 yesterday for you.
Yeah, it was a weird deal. Like, and I'm still battling.
But what time was it in Hawaii?
I don't know for certain, but I do know this for certain. Our buddy Sylvie, Waddle, Cap, Hoodie. I would bet if I'm in Chicago today, I'm thinking. I think I may be screwed up. Jaden Daniels was dynamite. I'm telling you, that's how people are thinking. Whether or not Caleb Williams is going to be the guy, we don't know. But I watched last night thinking, I'm really glad that the Bears didn't draft that dude. Because he might be, as Matt's son said, he is him. He is him. And then they're crowning him. I think that's what you do, right? When you say he is him.
Who's
you
Matt?
You put a little crown.
Who is Matt?
Again, I'm not going
to Matt Eberflus?
Matt, you nerdle?
So you put the crown on, right? Is that how it goes, Jesse? I know you're young and hip. But he threw 91% completion.
Yeah, when I think of Jesse, Pablo. I think of
Pablo.
Jesse's got more workers.
Jeez, knew that better than Jesse
it's
did.
This.
That's terrible.
Yeah. So he was him. And you watch what he did last night, you think, he's going to be a problem for teams. You don't think Jaden Daniels is going to be pretty doggone good?
No, I think that he is a rookie quarterback who had a really good game last night, and then he's going to have some tough games too, and it's going to be growth is not linear. And so he was really, really good last night. But that's part of the problem with the sports commentary industrial complex. And Denny Green,
that's your
RIP. Yeah,
that's
no, I don't. And I fight against it like I am right this very moment.
Well, that's
Denny Green, RIP. If you want to crown him, then crown him. But
how do you
come
not
on, man. We don't have to do this. We can enjoy the fact he played really well and say, this guy really impressed me without crowning him. And he's going to be better than Caleb Williams. Or I agree. If I was a Bears fan, now this I'm not scolding you per se. I'm talking about the greater realm. No. Because that's the thought I would have if I was a Bears fan, too, after watching that. No doubt about it. I agree with you there.
Yeah, I think, and all I'm saying is you could tell, you know, obviously different skill sets and things like that. But what we saw last night, if you watched that game, was really impressive. That was a road game against a team that a lot of people thought were, you know, going to be Super Bowl contenders. They're 0-3 and you know, struggling. And to do that, it's one thing if you have a couple of big plays. He threw two incompletions. He ran for 80. He's a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm feeling that way about Caleb Williams as we sit here. Now, yes, it is a long time. This is a small sample size. But you know how this goes. And reaction and fan stuff and the perception becomes reality. So if Caleb Williams struggles a couple weeks, what do you think the narrative is going to be? It's already out there. They screwed up. They didn't get this guy. And what do you think that does? You think that adds? Now, the good thing, it feels like from Caleb's standpoint, he's secure enough and he's going to be him. He's going to do whatever he does. But it just adds another layer. If you're a Bears fan, man, we can't get this wrong again. And from through 3 weeks, you would say they did get it wrong. Now, that doesn't mean it will be at the end, but this is a week-to-week business. You analyze on a weekly basis with keeping the long-term prospects in mind, but you are analyzing week-to-week, day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. And right now, you're looking at it saying, "Woo, oh boy, look pretty doggone good the last couple weeks." Not just 1 week. He's looked pretty good the last couple weeks. And it's kind of, you have to tip your cap and say, that was a pretty good performance last night.
No, there's no doubt. My point is that then we just feel compelled to extrapolate it out, and he is him and all the other stuff. Like, again, I think it's really hard to play that position at an elite level for a sustained period of time. And we have seen, I mean, look, you and I both consider Doug Peterson a friend. What the hell happened to those guys? And they just paid their quarterback, who does not look like he was worth the money. And there were times when people were talking about how good he was and how impressed they were with him. It's just so hard to sustain. And so that's the thought as a Bears fan of, oh boy, did we get it wrong? I totally understand. The idea of crowning Jaden Daniels as, you know, the next big thing is premature. That's where I stand on it. And the idea that we can't just say that guy was really, really good last night, and that's not sufficient enough commentary. We can talk about it with Evan Cohen. I'm eager to hear what he says because he obviously has a national platform. I just don't understand why we have to take the giant leap, and we can't just stand in the spot where we are and say, this dude was damn good last night. Because that's what he was. And by the way, Josh Allen was too. And there have been times when we've thought, God, Josh Allen, he just turns the ball over too much. He's never going to win. Like, these are all the types of things that I just don't think we have to extrapolate them out immediately.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
But look, I got a text from Sylvie during the Packers game essentially saying, boy, I hope Packers fans appreciate how good Matt LaFleur is, that you guys are winning. He always says it's not my team, but you know what I mean. The idea that you guys are winning with Malik Willis is another punch to the gut of Bears fans.
It is kind of your team. You've spent 30 years of your life on
go
this
pack,
team.
Go Pack, go. Go Pack,
no,
go.
You know,
I didn't play right tackle for them like you did.
Yeah, but so I don't know why you run from that. It's a huge part of your life. So just embrace it. Stop
the team I
from
cover. It. Yeah, it's the team I cover.
It's put meals on your plate too. I mean, it has. Let's just call it what it is. So you don't have to be supportive and rooting it, but it is associated with you.
You guys.
So Sylvie saying that, don't take that and run from it as some, you know.
Well,
whatever.
I'm running. Also,
well, you can run, but it doesn't make any sense.
I'm not fast enough to get away from it.
I think Matt LaFleur, for the first time in forever, is getting the flowers.
And taking a shower. Sure, yeah.
He was never, and this is always the fascinating part, and you saw it even with the GOATs, Belichick and Brady, because this complex, the media industrial complex, does this, you try to figure out who gets the credit and whatnot. And when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback, Matt LaFleur was never going to get any credit. He was only going to get blame. And I'm certain it's refreshing for him, even though last year was a battle and a struggle until it wasn't. I would bet, and I know you asked this, and I know we talked about this last week, that this has probably been the most fun and rewarding part of Matt LaFleur's head coaching career has been this last 2 weeks. And what he's been able to do, and it's not because he's getting all the adulation, even though everybody loves adulation. It's because it's validation for what he does and how his approach is. And that is a lot better than having 10 slappies tell you how great a coach you are. It's much more about, this is my system. Here's a guy that doesn't even know our system. We have tailored it and figured out ways to win football games in the most competitive cutthroat league in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe the Premier League, I don't follow it, so I can't give you that. But that's where we're at. So I think Matt LaFleur is, you know, his stock is at an all-time high right now, even higher than when he was 39 and whatever and was the winningest coach in the history of this league. His stock is now higher. And I think if you polled people that know what the hell they're talking about, he would be a top three coach in this league as we sit here right now.
I don't know about top three, but top 10, top five, I'm not
top
sure
10?
How they would.
Who's winning with Malik Willis as their quarterback?
There's no doubt that he deserves all those flowers. I'm saying that nationally, I'm not sure that you would get a lot of people behind you to say Matt LaFleur is now a top three coach.
I'm going to tell you this. I think after these last, you had Sylvie, who does not like the Packers, is a Bears fan through and through, text you out of the blue to tell you how great, and Sylvie's been on the scene for a long time.
Is Shanahan better? Is Shanahan better?
Not right now, he's not.
Well, without all of his guys, you're right. And that's 1 point for LaFleur.
Have his guy. His $220 million.
Again,
guy.
You're doing the same thing as you did with Daniels. So you're going to tell me that a guy that's coached two teams to a Super Bowl is behind LaFleur. You're going to tell me that Sean McVay, whose team is also losing right now, although they did beat the 49ers, mm-hmm. who has won one Super Bowl and lost the Super Bowl,
Jason,
is better than
what
LaFleur.
Do I tell you
you're
going to
tell
Eddie
me Andy
Lacy.
Reid. There's three right there that keeps him out of the top three. That's all I'm saying.
You. Hold up a second. I'm not telling you Andy Reid. He's got pelts on the wall. These guys do too. But what happens in this league?
It comes at you fast.
So it does. And you have to shift with it. Matt LaFleur has shifted with it in a big way. So, yes, yesterday's great. The history's great. All that stuff's great. But you know what? Bill Belichick's history's great. What's he doing now? He's doing what we're doing. He's talking about it.
Is Kevin O'Connell a better coach
than Matt LaFleur?
Uh-huh.
No.
His team's 3-0 with Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold was their preferred starter in the beginning of the season.
I'm just saying that there are a lot of guys who do a good job of coaching.
But I'm saying as we sit here right now, I'm not talking about the history of the game. I'm saying 2024 season through 3 weeks, which coach would be the coy? Andy Reid ain't going to be coy because he's got Pat Mahomes. So I'm not going to be blasphemous enough to say that Andy Reid is below Matt LaFleur. But I'm not going to be blasphemous enough to say anybody else that you want to name that Matt LaFleur shouldn't be in that conversation.
For through three games with what they've done with a backup quarterback, he deserves all the credit in the world, and he is doing the best job of coaching his football team.
He's top three.
Of any team in the league.
Totally
now,
agree with you.
So I would like
you
to
agree
get,
with me on my top three.
Yes, and if Matt Unertle or Matt Bernstein or whichever Matt you're staying with today would like to chime in, that would be great as well. What I would like you to do is to tell me about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and double-check if that window that you buy is a Pella window, because if it is, then you know that you've got a really smart house host.
That's true, and you know what? Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, they are the window and door equivalent of hitting for the cycle. Pella manufactures all of their own products. Each one of those products gets tested thousands of times to ensure that it withstands the test of time. Quality craftsmanship, innovative design, they are built into every Pella product for timeless beauty and performance. Order by September 30th, get as low as $18 per window and $81 per patio door per month. Visit PellaWI.com today to learn more.
All right, so as promised on this program yesterday, does Matt let you use his printer, or you've been carrying them all around California there, your sheets?
No, I'm carrying my own sheets.
Okay. Thank you for your service. So as promised, and we'll
Why
get to the...
Why do you think that's so funny? You're Johnny Print guy.
Because I love you like a brother, but there are times where I wonder how organized / whether you might lose stuff. And so the fact that we have gotten to this point in your Californication, that you still have, hey, Matt, so you still have your sheets, I just think it's impressive. That's
Thanks.
All. I was just praising you,
and I
man.
Think you have to give me some credit for my IT, too, up to this point.
Fantastic I am shocked work today.
No, it's not just credit. It's shock. Like, good. Sarah's nowhere to be found. The
She's
fact
not.
That there's video. Do we have too much of the table again? Of course we
it's
do.
It's not a table. It's a book. I'm propped it up on a book.
My fault. I can't believe I didn't realize that was a book that it was on top of.
Did well, you I hope you can't. I hope you can't read it because there's a naughty word on the front of the book.
Oh,
it's a
geez.
Great book. But if you can read the cover of the book, I wonder, can we do a contest if you could figure out what book?
Digi only. What potty mouth word is on the cover of the book?
Did you hire Ren and the dog as your IT interns for the week now with Sarah returning home?
There's three dogs, and I don't think any of them are going to be intern available. They're still peeing on the floor.
Walter the farting dog. All right.
Ace is the farter.
Oh, good to know.
Alvy is the one that seems to be the most under control.
Does he bark really loud, like the really high pitch dude?
He's a high pitch barking now.
More Will the Attouch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Will the Attouch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I remember the nights when we're young, dumb, and wild and free. When I close my eyes, I can see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar these days. I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I remember.
We'll get to Evan Cohen coming up. Chris Canty was fired up today.
What was he mad about?
He was going after some of his teammates, not Evan and Mishmel Schmalman, but some of his ESPN teammates for making excuses for Joe Burrow, Joey B.
Who's making excuses?
The Cincinnati Bengals are 0-3. But it's not Joe Burrow's fault in the estimation of some, apparently. So Chris Canty got a little riled up. It was fun to watch. But that's not the quarterback that we are focused on.
Okay.
The quarterback we're focused on, well, Malik Willis in part, and Jaden Daniels in the first segment.
Sam Darnold.
But Jordan Love. So, Tausch, here's the latest development. I know you're out in California, so you're 2 hours behind in the news cycle. But Rob Domofsky and I, there were a couple guys that hadn't come back yet from Nashville, ran into some travel delays. So Rob and I, as you'll find out later, I dominated the press conference for a little while, with good reason. But Rob and I kind of hatched our plan again for how we were going to approach questions about Love to the head coach. And Rob asked what I thought was the
most... Are you allowed to have alliances like that? You guys are
Rob's on our show once a week.
No. I'm saying y'all are having an alliance against the head coach.
It's not against him. It's to get information for our fans.
Sounds a little alliance.
Pretty schemey, which is very alliance-y.
Yeah. Very alliance.
I'm a schemer.
Yes.
You were a schemer. You had plans.
You know what would be kind of fun?
Tell me, please. Yeah,
what would be kind of fun is if we ended up doing like a every week, because there's so many beat people now, and there's just a bunch of media folks. What if they did like an where you were snuffed out and you had to sit out a week? Every week they get to Survivor style.
Who's
they? Snuff your torch.
The Packers. The other reporters?
No, the Packers.
The team does.
LaFleur has to be probed, and all the beat writers have to vote one writer out
every
week.
One writer out for the week.
Yeah.
Yes. That could be super interesting.
Okay, this is what I deal with.
Because then you have to form an alliance with Wes. Well, would never get snuffed out because he's... You know, he's CBS. He's writing. He's actually there.
But then
he's Kelly Call.
Like, they can vote out Domofsky, but then he comes up and he has the hidden immunity quill and he gets to stay.
He gets the quill. And then somebody else has to go. And it's only 1 week because obviously you guys have livelihoods. You can't just fire
everybody.
Packers
have put food on my plate. Yeah.
Well, they have.
As much as I would love to listen to two Survivor nerds go back and forth on how they could apply Survivor to the beat writers.
Jesse, who wins that Survivor? Who wins that? I mean, you have to be political. Wildy is going to be too abrasive. People are going to get his butt
abrasive.
Out of there. You're long-winded. You take up a lot of the time. People, you take the shine away from others. You're going to be one of the first.
You take the shine away from others.
I think I got Hubes winning it. I think I got him.
I can see Hubes. Kind of got that gritty, hard-working mentality. Yeah, I think I could see Hubes winning that, too. Jason, who do you think wins it?
So Rob Domofsky asked Matt LaFleur if the work... This is important, you ding-a-lings. He asked Matt LaFleur if the workout that Jordan Love went through before the game was a prove you're ready to play workout or great get question. Some conditioning on game day workout.
Rob's not getting voted out with that question. I know that. He's definitely – that's a great question. Continue.
And Matt LaFleur acknowledged that before Jordan Love even set foot onto the field, Rob was on with us about an hour before inactives were supposed to be turned in on Green Bay game day pregame. And he was standing outside the visitor's locker room. Jordan Love walked past him to go out to the field to work out. And before Jordan Love set foot on that newfangled artificial turf that they have at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, he was already out. His torch was extinguished to play.
How do we know that?
Because Matt LaFleur said so, if you'd have let me finish telling the story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, eventually get to it. Let's go.
So Matt LaFleur said he'd already been ruled out when he went to workout.
So was he ruled out by Friday, too? Was he out?
Again, I don't want to get into the details of that, as Matt LaFleur would say.
I'd hate to hear details about what actually happened.
Yeah, I tried. But he also took some team reps last week. We got him acknowledge that. But the bottom line is, Tausch, he was out before he went to work out. What does that tell you? Because there was a lot of folks thinking, oh, he's ready to go. And I want you to hear a clip a little bit later after we talk to Evan of LaFleur randomly feeling the need to say that it is a legitimate injury. And that... Ooh. Piqued my interest yesterday as well. So the question before we get to Evan is this. What does it tell you that he did the workout was just to get him some work on game day because he had already been ruled out for the game?
Well, I'm just fascinated by the Friday component to it. They know. By Saturday, they already know because you have to start piecing this together. You got to tell guys certain things. And, luckily, nobody asked Malik Willis when he knew he was going to be the starter. And then I'm sure they've schooled him up on how to approach that so they don't get fined in draft picks like I think San Fran might get. It tells me that he's close, but they never had any inkling of playing him these first 2 weeks. Like, that was never part of the plan. Now, it'll be interesting this week as far because I want my prediction to be correct. I predicted that it would be the Viking game. MCL. Now, does he have any setbacks? How's he feeling? Because it looked like they put him through a pretty good workout. Let me tell you something. Anytime you see guys going through a pretty full-on workout before a game, they ain't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So that should have been tip one. But it sounds like I'm going to be really intrigued by the questions Domofsky and you tag-teamed in the Survivor-style matchup with LaFleur later in this program.
We will get to that coming up. First, we're going to talk with Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Whether or not he views the Packers as having the best coach in the top three coach in the league,
coach.
I'm really curious because he has a better picture of the entire league in terms of other coaches who are doing a good job. We will get to that coming up. He is scheduled to appear
just
next.
To say, you think Evan Cohen knows more about NFL coaches than you do?
I think he knows more about the other 31 teams than I do. Yes. He's got ESPN stats and information at his disposal.
Have Domofsky, NFL. So you go to him on stuff.
He's got former NFL players around him.
Yeah.
He's got. I do. Most of them, however, talk about what the naughty word is on the book that he's got his laptop or whatever he's got on and stuff like that. So, look. I think he's got a better pulse. They give him prep and stuff. Like,
you're 30 years into this,
Jesse. I don't cover the whole league.
I'm taking Pablo and I over Evan's producers for the record.
I thought you did cover the whole league.
I cover the Green Bay Packers. Just like you don't drink all beers, you just drink Coors Light.
I do, and I brought. You know what? I had a couple leftover Coors Lights that I put in the back of the car. They're now in the fridge in the unnamed home that I'm in. I'm going to make sure I crack one. Maybe at 10 a.m. Maybe at 10 a.m. this morning. I'm not 100% sure. But if I need to chill
this show goes
the way it's going, I'll probably crack one open because it's cool packaged,
full
filtered. Excuse me? It's always Coors Light in my head. It's 102 calories, and I'll make sure that those mountains are blue. That's when I know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Don't need a sheet for that one. Pretty good. I'm impressed.
I forgot that sheet at the back.
You lost it.
And I didn't lose it. I just left it because it's ingrained.
Evan Cohen joins us next.
It's like a burial?
Bye.
We're on the Brewers.
They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
This is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball.
100.5 ESPN. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town.
Time for Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, which you can hear across ESPN Wisconsin each weekday morning. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I am great. Before you and old boy get into it, as you are known to do on Tuesdays, would you agree that with your... it's something that I said, so hopefully that's true still. Would you agree that you have a better grasp of the NFL in its entirety than I do? Because that's what I think.
No, not even close.
Exactly.
What kind
Thank
of crazy
you.
Take is that?
Yeah, no, Jason... Jason acts like, well, I only cover, granted, I think he covers the Packers intently, but he's 30 years into this, and I make a statement this morning that Matt LaFleur is a top three NFL coach right now. This season, what he's done has been unbelievable. I'm not going to ever put him above Andy Reid, but there ain't anybody else that I wouldn't put him on level par with as we sit here in 2024. And he's like, whoa, that's crazy. The prisoner of the moment, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, well, we'll ask Evan because he knows the league better. And I'm like, what the hell world are we living in? This is your life. Yeah, Evan has Miami Heat basketball, and he listens to Brian Windhorst on a daily basis. Like, he's
– oh, do I ever.
It's just –
I've had to see your little Tausch on a one-year non-guaranteed deal.
Yeah, it was a good. I think that's a really sneaky move for that squad.
I don't
fully understand.
Oh my God.
If Wilde is like selling him, trying to be like fake humble, or if he honestly believes that Evan Cohen knows more about the NFL than Jason Wilde.
You know, this doesn't need to be. This doesn't need to be shots at me. It actually could be complimentary of Jason without it being a shot at
me.
Well,
don't take it personal. It wasn't a shot at you. I feel bad.
Okay. I mean,
all
my
right.
God.
I'm sorry. I asked.
All right. Here's how I'll break it down. No, Jason. Here's how I'll break it down. Of course, you know the league better. Now, I will say, X's and O's wise, amongst the three of us, obviously I know the most.
Sure, former quarterback. Obviously.
Business wise, in terms of the contract stuff, I would say, you know, you probably go to me on that transactional. Ideas, crazy ideas. I would say it's the tie between Tausch and I.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, Tausch definitely rules what they should do, what they don't do. How about this? How about that? But in terms of overall knowledge of the league, what have you done for 30 years if it's not you in terms
exactly.
of
exactly? Thank you.
All right. So I saw you this morning talking about the Bengals and Joe Burrow and Chris Canty getting all riled up. And when I see something like that, I don't know. I know that Joe Burrow has had his ups and downs since coming back from injury. I don't follow Joe Burrow as closely to be able to proclaim what Canty claimed today. That was my point. But I want to get to the reason why this whole conversation occurred. Because Tausch likes to say, he makes it an abbreviation, a POM, prisoner of moment. He apparently drops the T and the. And him saying that Matt LaFleur is now a top three head coach in the NFL.
That's not what he said. You just said this season through three games, right now he's coaching as a top three coach.
That's how you rephrased it after I got after you. That's
what I said.
Well, what is it? What is the exact statement? Let's understand that.
Well, now it is.
As we sit here right now, he's a top three coach. Is what I said.
There you go. Okay. Yep.
That's what
there
I
you
said.
Go. That's.
Okay. Well, because Jason's trying to put Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. I said, yeah. You know what? That's cute. They have great histories. They've done great things. But the NFL, and this is, I don't know where, why Jason misconstrued this, because I literally bring this up every time I can. The league comes at you fast. This league comes at you fast. And it has, and Matt LaFleur has evolved. And to win with a backup quarterback that's been with you for 25 days, two impressive wins, Matt LaFleur's finally getting the shine, the flowers, the showers that he deserves. And it's because he's been able to do his – he's showcased his coaching ability, and he's highlighted it, and it's been fantastic. And that's why – because Jason's like, well, nationally, he's not getting that love. That's where we brought you into the equation. And I do think Matt LaFleur is getting the love now finally, because what he's done over this course of this first 3 weeks has been pretty gosh darn phenomenal.
Yeah, well, okay, so on our show this morning, Canty and former Packer Jeff Saturday both said that this is the best coaching year of Matt LaFleur's career.
100% agree. What was that?
What's so funny?
No, I totally
agree. No, I'm getting my car.
Oh,
I thought the Jeff former Packer Jeff Saturday line was what was funny to me. So just
Evan knew
well,
what
he was funny. Wasn't he?
He was. He had pro, one he was year that he bowler. Got he benched. Yeah.
No, he's a Pro Bowler too. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Here's the question I have for you, because I was thinking about this. You want me to throw you for a loop?
Yeah.
How do you explain this one? You know, a lot of people do the Brady versus Belichick and look at them without each other and this, that, the other thing. How do you explain the success of Aaron Rodgers' coaches without Aaron Rodgers?
What do you mean? The Cowboys, would you say Mike McCarthy's been super successful without Aaron?
I would say when you have the highest winning percentage in the history of the Dallas Cowboys in the regular season, you've had a level of success. And I would say that Matt LaFleur has had success in Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. And in no way, shape, or form am I suggesting that those two coaches made Aaron Rodgers. I'm asking the question, how do you view the fact that the two coaches that Rodgers played for in Green Bay have also, not instead of, not versus, also been successful without him?
Jason, great question. How are you answering that?
And again, back to my point about Evan knowing the league and everything else.
That's not knowing the league. That's knowing radio, Jason.
No, wait.
He knows radio. He doesn't know the league. I agree with Evan's criticism of himself. Continue.
I didn't know that Mike McCarthy had the highest winning percentage in the regular season of any Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Well, he does now. The way things are going, I'm not sure that's going to hold up. But, yes, he does.
Okay. Now that we've established that, to me, there appears to be a level of, dare I say, relief when you start coaching a team that doesn't have Aaron Rodgers on it.
Wow.
Don't you dare say sound
graph. I'm not
going to
say sound graph.
Don't do it.
I know how freaked out you get.
Because I think Matt LaFleur, there were clearly times where that was a burden. There were clearly times when it was a burden on Mike McCarthy. And so while you appreciated the art, sometimes the artist got on your nerves. And you appreciated the success, but there were times where it was difficult working with him. I don't think that that's some revelatory statement. Like, I think that's pretty they both have seemingly found a level of, I don't want to say happiness, but unencumbered feeling as a head coach. Because he's a lot.
I mean, I can relate to that a little bit. I mean, I think about Tausch's art and the artist that he is, and I don't appreciate either of it, to be honest. I want to just point out one other thing here. I think the way you said was so good, Jason, and I hope everybody gets it and tweets it out and drives you nuts all day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, very excited about that.
Can we get back to the original question that I interrupted 10 times? Matt LaFleur is a top three coach in the league this year. Okay, so I think the way we should do this is apply the unsportsmanlike approach, 5A to 9A on ESPN Wisconsin. 5A
Great
to
show.
ESPN
really Wisconsin. Good show.
Thank you, Tausch. I think we should apply the logic that we apply, which is there are 31 teams in the league and there's the Chiefs. It becomes dumb to compare Reed, Mahomes, and that team to anyone because the default answer is always them.
Totally
so
agree.
The top three coaching jobs in the NFL this year, well, of the 31 teams that are not the Chiefs, Matt LaFleur has to be in the conversation for best coaching jobs. Mm-hmm. Has he done a better job than Mike Tomlin? Has he done a better job than Sean McDermott of the Bills? And the reason I bring him up is because I believe their quarterback is a completely different player. He was my least favorite player in the NFL the last however many years, and now I love the way that Josh Allen is playing. After that, Mike McDonald in Seattle, you know, Kevin O'Connell
in Minnesota.
Yeah, so now all of them are playing with their intended starting quarterback. I think the moment you play football with a quarterback, I don't care when you got him, that is not your intended starter, and your record likely would have been somewhat close to the exact same record as if your intended starter were there, you have to give the coach a lot of credit.
So congratulations to Brian Callahan, who has his intended starter, and they have the record that you would have anticipated.
Oh, God. Terrible. I thought they were going to be decent this year. I thought they were going to hit it over, and I thought Levis would be good. My God, is that guy awful. Terrible decision-making. But, Tausch, would you put the job, and I know you, I don't want to say you've been anti-Tomlin. I think you think that the conversation around Tomlin has been a little much at times, maybe by me specifically.
Well, a lot of mediocrity from Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, which I
almost just cursed. I literally almost just cursed, and I never curse. I was about to say that's a bunch of, you know what, that's not fair, calling a mediocrity. Anyway.
You know what?
Your question,
hey, hold up a second.
Yeah.
What is 9-8? He'd been 9-8 every year for the last 4 years. What is that?
Yeah, but look at the team he has out there, and now look at what happens
Who's building the team?
The makings of a good quarterback. Not
him. He's been there 18 years.
Right, but that doesn't mean you're the team builder.
Come on. All right. Mike Tomlin's a good coach.
What do you mean, all right?
He's a good coach.
No, Mike Tomlin is an all-time great coach.
Let me tell you something. 9-8 ain't flying in Green Bay. You ain't getting 4 years at 9-8 in Green Bay. You're not.
Pittsburgh, some terrible football town all the time.
The last 4 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 12-4, 9-7-1, 9-8, and 10-7.
Okay.
That's better than the Packers combined, right?
There you go.
I guess you are getting that in Green Bay is what you're actually saying, Tausch. Oh. Unless you want to say that LaFleur, only Tausch could somehow say LaFleur has been a top three coach in the league and should be fired.
Who said LaFleur should be fired?
You just said you're not getting that in Green Bay. What Jason just gave you is that Mike Tomlin's been better than what you've gotten in Green Bay.
Mike Tomlin's a good coach. People are crowning him.
That's nice of you to say.
People are crowning him, and all I was saying is his big claim to fame, other than winning the one championship, is they go 500 or better. Great.
Okay.
What does that do for you?
Then let's focus on the important stuff. Then with this, right? Or not the important stuff. I'm saying no. I'm not even going to rip on you. I'm actually very interested in this. Would you both, based on a 3-game sample size this year, say that the coaching job that LaFleur has done is guaranteed a top 3 job in the league? And if there are those above him, who would be those above him leaving Andy Reid out?
Yeah, I'll have a really hard time finding 3 coaches that I think have done a better job. And all the coaches you mentioned that are 3-0, kudos to them. 100% agree. But the circumstances dictate things. The expectation game dictates things. If Jordan Love was healthy the whole time, I probably am maybe not having this conversation. But what he's done the last 2 weeks with this game plan and how he executed, how he gave his quarterback a chance to be incredibly successful when he's only been there for 3 or 4 weeks is remarkable. And they deserve I criticize Matt LaFleur a bunch, especially the last year of Aaron Rodgers and early last year. I criticized a bunch. I gave him a ton of flowers because he deserved it. They flipped it last year. And now what he's done, this is the best part in this. How many years have you been coached, Jason? 6?
This is year 6. Year 6.
This is the best coaching he's done. This is his stock is at an all-time high right now. And I'm not interested in selling it because I think it's going to continue to climb. That's where I'm at with Matt LaFleur.
All right, the Tausch has him top 3, if not number 1. Jason, what about you? 3-game sample size just this year. Leave out Andy Reid.
Yes, so now that we have put those parameters down, which was not, if you go back and listen to the tape, what you said at the very beginning there, old boy, if we're just saying through 3 games, I can't debate that. I'm not debating that. Remember when I responded, I said, you're talking about McVay, who has been to two Super Bowls and won one. You're talking about Shanahan, who's
flirted
been
with
to two
Amazon
Super Bowls.
And getting out of coaching 3 years ago, too, just FYI.
Yes, but okay. We just ran through a list of guys that are in the conversation for those top three to start the year. And Mike Tomlin is on that list. Sean McDermott is on that list. And quite frankly, I understand it's his preferred starter, but Kevin O'Connell doing something that no other team has done, and that is win with Sam Darnold and have Sam Darnold playing really well, deserves to be in the conversation too. Do I think Matt LaFleur is ahead of them? I do. I don't know about Tomlin because I'm not sure what to make of what the Steelers have managed to do. Russell Wilson, I'm almost convinced that they're better off without Russell Wilson. We will see how their season unfolds.
Nobody wants to give Russell Wilson any credit for anything because everybody in the world, seemingly but me, has turned on him. It's like somehow everybody in the world goes to a party. Russell Wilson's there. They scream out his name, and he blows them off. I mean,
no screaming. There was no screaming. There was no screaming.
I actually think Russell Wilson deserves some credit because I think people just assumed he couldn't be a backup and he would make a stink and make it all about him. And I know he's fully dressed in the sidelines, but I think he's done a pretty good job. Now, let me ask you another question off of this, right? And this question I'm about to ask you is a compliment, no matter where you rank, obviously, LaFleur, is a major compliment to LaFleur, what I'm about to ask you. If I said to you right now, you have to make a choice by the end of the day. You have to either give Malik Willis a 3-year, $27 million contract or trade him to the Dolphins for a fourth rounder. What are you doing? And you have to decide by the end of today.
Yeah, I trade him for a fourth rounder.
Yeah, me too. But then does that mean Sean Clifford is starting for me and then I get to see Matt LaFleur get Sean Clifford ready to win a game if Jordan Love's not ready on Sunday?
My point is, I don't know the answer to that. You would know that better than I would. My point is,
I cover the Packers.
Did Matt LaFleur really help make something, or flash in a pan and you should flip on it? Because what we've seen around the league is having a good backup is really valuable.
Evan,
right,
you're not getting the big question here. It's an interesting. Well, it was an interesting question, but Jason. Does Matt LaFleur go 2-0 with Sean Clifford as his quarterback and not? That's really the question you're asking.
Yeah, that's where I was headed.
I do declare that they do go 2-0 with Sean Clifford. And
Matt LaFleur has just jumped up in the rankings because what you're saying.
He's top three. How much jumping is he doing?
No, he's already top three. Forget the first three games. Then it's like the next 3 years, right? If you're talking about coaching. So what you're actually suggesting is two things, in my opinion. Number one, which I know Tausch and I are very much on the same page, shockingly, is that they have the best general manager in the sport, Brian Gutekunst, in the roster that he's created.
There ain't no doubt about that.
And you could give Matt LaFleur literally anyone, and he could make them, I don't want to say great, but efficient enough to make no mistakes.
Yeah,
give
effective.
Your chance the team to win.
Yeah. Against those two teams, yes.
I don't think that's fair to Malik Willis, what you guys are doing.
I don't either.
It's not.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's definitely not.
I feel bad about it, and I gave him a bunch of flowers also.
And showers.
I'm giving LaFleur more. And I know Jason hates it when you have to pick and choose, but that's the world we live in.
Yeah, I don't know if – I'm not willing to go so far as to say that they would be 2-0 with Sean Clifford.
Pull it.
Okay, I'll do that after we're done talking to Evan. Because I think Malik Willis, what he has done, and the level of things he had to learn in a short time. Like, we made a big deal about the running game and what they did. Matt LaFleur, when I finally got him to expand on some of his you-can't-fathom-what-he's-done spiel, I mean, when you talk about all those misdirections and the fakes and the motions, that's complicated stuff for a guy who's never been in your office.
Well, Evan knows. He's an old quarterback.
Well, he is.
He knows
exactly.
How tough
that
is.
That's right.
What would his record be with Evan Cohen as his quarterback?
Well, a lot of people don't talk about the fact that I had a coaching change between my junior and senior year, and then I had two different varsity coaches. Not enough people focus on the changing of offense from
makes it
junior
tougher.
To senior year. Yeah.
Definitely makes it difficult. for sure.
Evan, say hi to our friend Mishmel Schmalman for us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. You can hear him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin. On ESPN Milwaukee, you get him from 5 to 7, and then we segue into Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which, of course, you want to catch as well. We'll unpack that conversation a little bit next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Thanks, as always, to Evan Cohen. He sure knows the NFL well. I am curious, as I put together this question, how exactly you'd like me to phrase it, because I, as is often the case with you, it's a really, really good question.
It is.
And I am inclined to vote no, they are not two. And remember, look, I saw there's an account on Twitter calling itself like the Malik Willis receipts or something to that effect.
Okay.
And I don't shy away from this at all, nor do I shy away from my Devontae Wyatt criticism his first 2 years. I thought the better play was to start Sean Clifford against the Colts.
I did.
I said it on this show. I said it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And I stand by that because I didn't think that the coaching staff and the player, when he had only been here for 20 days, could get up to speed quickly enough to be effective. And that, again, this is why we shouldn't root for ourselves to be right. We should acknowledge when we're wrong and then take that wrongness and see it for what it is, which is a incredible job that both the coaching staff and the quarterback did the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Hey, the better story is that I was wrong, because this is incredible what they have done over the last two games, and I have thoroughly enjoyed writing about it and talking about it. But in the moment, at that time, I still think that was a completely reasonable thing to feel. One guy had been in your system for 18 months, the other guy 18 days at the time I said it. So the fact that they have accomplished this is incredible. Now,
yes.
That said, you know I hate having to choose who to blame, who to credit, who to praise, and you only get to pick one. Hate that. Because it's always shades of gray.
For sure.
But this question makes you choose. Mm-hmm. Because essentially the choice is it all LaFleur, or does Malik Willis deserve more credit because they're winning with him and they wouldn't with Sean Clifford? So would they have gone 2-0? If Sean Clifford had been the quarterback instead of Malik Willis.
Correct. And I know we have to go, you know, it's top of the hour and whatnot. But the more I'm thinking about it, and I am giving a ton of credit to Matt LaFleur. I'm giving credit to Malik Willis as well. What he's done has been, I've said it five times now, if I've said it 10. But I'm going to vote in this poll. And I'm, even though I've been heavily Matt LaFleur rated on this, I'm voting no, because I do declare that Malik Willis's legs and they did with the option and being able to move people around, and that I don't know if Sean Clifford has that threat. I don't believe he does, not to the same degree. That's what has been the difference. That's what Matt LaFleur is keying on, and he's forcing defensive ends. He's pulled up, like, he really mishmashed a bunch of stuff, and he could not have done that with Sean Clifford. I think they would have went 1-1. So while I've been raving about what Matt LaFleur has done, without Malik Willis's ability to put pressure on defenses with his running, and how many yards rushing did he have in these 2 weeks, Jason? It was over 100, right?
He had 41, I believe, in the first game, 73 on Sunday.
So let's call it 120, 115 yards rushing. Those yards mattered, but it's the stuff that mattered off of that that gave the rest of that running game a lot of legs. They don't have that with Sean Clifford, so I'm voting Malik Willis in this poll.
Yeah. I agree. It's going to be a yes or no poll. Would they have gone 2-0 with Sean Clifford at quarterback instead of Willis? Of course, my answer is maybe. But I think that saying yes to this shortchanges how good Malik Willis has been.
I agree. But you're not shortchanging LaFleur.
Correct.
You're actually giving him attaboys because
correct.
You're finding, okay, what if I'm playing defense, if I go into Halfley's office and say, how are we going to slow, how would you stop this? How would you do this? And Malik Willis's skill set puts an inordinate amount of pressure on your defensive ends, your outside linebackers, because you have to commit to stopping him. And when he gets out of that pocket and or gets out of the traditional running box, that's an all day deal for these defensive backs and safeties to bring him down. And people didn't have a ton of good answers, especially early in games against that part of his game.
We'll get the poll in the field. I know this. If you're asking about that job that Tausch did with Johnson & Sons Paving, would they have done the same level of quality had Tausch not been on the team? The answer is no. The quality would have been even higher because he wouldn't have been driving the paver for a little while.
I think that's a fair criticism, and I have no problem acknowledging it to the Johnson & Sons Paving team, not Old T, and get ready for spring. Now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to make sure no pavement hazards get worse over winter. Potholes and cracked curbs and drainage issues. Well, if those things are bad now, call Johnson & Sons Paving to get it fixed today. Schedule a free, you don't have any, not even a little, obligation quote and a walkthrough of your pavement. They'll be able to see signs of ash fault pavement. Work needed by spotting fatigue cracking, standing water, warping, buckling, sinking pavement, and much, much more. Don't scare away customers or tenants with bad curb appeal. Book now. Save money later. JohnsonandSonsPaving.com.
We'll get the poll in the field. We'll start the conversation in the 10 o'clock hour. I do feel compelled, in parentheses, to put yes, it's a more nuanced conversation. Tune in with this poll. I don't know if that nuance is used on Twitter anymore or not. All I know is that we'll talk about that, and then we will hear my extended cut. Matt LaFleur and I, back and forth. He zinged me a couple times. I think you'll like that. That'll all happen in the 10 o'clock hour. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.